Amen. I'm starting in the book of Ephesians tonight. Chapter 4. Very, very familiar scripture. Verse 27. Ephesians 4 and 27. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Lord been dealing with me about this. It's been several years ago, quite a bit. And I tried to preach on it a time or two, more than a time or two, and I'd preach different things about place. But I couldn't seem to find exactly what the Holy Ghost was wanting me to preach on. And one year when I was preaching Brother Benny's year-end meeting, I found an old unabridged dictionary. And I looked at that, and it had that phrase in there, to give place. And it just simply said to give place means to give priority of position. Well, that didn't help the Indian out too much. But then, thank God, it said priority of position means to give the power of influence to change one's thinking. And I felt the Spirit of the Lord say, that's what I've been trying to tell you. Because I feel like we're living in an hour, amen, that many among us holiness people, if you will, have given the devil that place, have given him priority of position, in that he has influenced the way that we are preaching, the way we are having church. Come on, church. I said he's had that influence in the house of God to change our way of thinking. That's right. That's right. Preachers who used to have compassion on the lost and folks that needed help, amen, nowadays are happy, amen, to bust their stinking hides. They didn't get that from God. Well, I'm not going to get on you, preacher, so relax. Amen. But the Lord spoke to the church in the book of Revelation and told them that they had not known the depths of Satan. You know, I think that we take Satan too lightly. I'm not here to give him any flowers tonight. No, 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 no. But I feel like that to many people, he's just a little red ant running around in long red underwear. Come on, church. But in this place of influence, and the Lord began to deal with me about this, amen, I feel like that he has influenced them in their walk with God. We know that Satan is a very subtle being. Amen. He is so subtle, amen, that even Paul, amen, who seemed to rejoice in adversity, amen, amen, said there's one thing that I fear, and that's the subtlety of the devil. That's right. Amen. And the Lord began to deal with me because I've heard several preachers say anything the devil says is a lie. And the Lord began to deal with me that that's not true. That the devil uses the truth at times to get the children of God to not obey the Spirit of the Lord. Come on now, y'all. I told you you hadn't heard this before. In the book of Genesis, in the third chapter, we read the familiar scriptures and the story, amen, of Eve's downfall. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So Eve knew all along that this was to be left alone. Come on, church. And when the subject of the tree came up, and I don't think this was the first time she had seen it. Come on. Amen. But always before she seen it, when she seen it, it was no. Right? I can't have that. And she didn't think anything more about it. But one day, amen, she meets up with this serpent. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Amen. I want us to get this tonight, because Eve absolutely knew that she was to leave this thing alone. Come on now. Amen. But Satan changed her thinking. Come on now. Yeah, he did. He done it with one lie and the truth. The lie was, ye shall not surely die. That was a lie. But everything else that the devil told her was the absolute truth. He said to her, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. That's the truth. That's why God told her to leave it alone. Huh? And he said, knowing good and evil. And that's the truth, because when they ate it, they did know. Come on now. Come on now. It was the truth. But it changed her way of thinking about that God had told her to leave alone. Oh, God, help me preach to you tonight. Amen. Because I'm seeing this in the church, that the devil is using the truth to keep some people from doing what God wants them to do. Woo. Amen. Now, he may not get you to eat of the forbidden fruit, but I'm convinced that he has influenced the thinking of many among us, amen, until they are failing to fulfill the thing that God wants them to do. Come on, church. It's just not the sin of commission, but it's got the sin of omission that's got most of our folks in trouble. Now, in the book of Matthew 25, we read the familiar story of the talents. Amen. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, and to every man according to his several abilities, and straightway took his journey. I don't read all this. We know this. We know the man with 5 talents went out and gained other 5, and the man with 2 also gained 2 more. The one with 1 talent hid his in the ground. Come on, church. And then here comes the master back. Amen. The man with 5 had gained 5. He's welcomed in. The one with 2 is. And now we come to the man with 1 talent. Amen. And the Bible says, amen, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, give it unto him that hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. casted the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. Now, this man went to hell. Come on, church. He went to hell. Amen. Amen. He didn't go there to hell because he didn't have a talent, because God gave him one. And he didn't go there because he didn't have the ability to use it, because God gave to him according to what he was able to do. That's why God never overloads you. I said God never overloads you. Amen. And he didn't go there because he wasn't a servant, because he was one. I mean, even the Lord said, thou unprofitable servant. He was still a servant. He was a servant. Come on, church. Amen. But he went to hell. Amen. He didn't go there because he wasn't in the house of the Lord, Brother Matt, because he's there until the Master come back. Come on, church. Amen. But he went to hell because he didn't do nothing. He went there because he didn't use what God gave him to use. Now, why? Well, he said, I was afraid. Now, what was he afraid of? He had a talent. He had the ability to use it. He's in the house of God. How did he become afraid? Y'all are looking at me funny. Well, I'll tell you what I believe, okay? I believe the devil came to him like he comes to so many among us who are just one talented people. And that's most of us. I said that's most of us. Especially the buzzard, I think he got a half talent. But anyway, I believe he came to this man and he said, look, you didn't get as much as the rest of them did. And you can't do as much as they do. And you can't do it as good as they do it. So why try? I don't know how many times in my pastorates that I've heard these words. Have someone else do it. They can do it better than me. Are you listening to me tonight? I feel like that God has something for everybody to do. One told me, said, well, I'm just a bench warmer. That's my talent. I said, sweet Lamb of God, if it really is your talent, I'd have the hottest seat in the house. I mean, I'd pray the Spirit down on that bench, amen, till everybody that came and sat on my bench would feel the Spirit of God. If that's all I was, if I was a bench warmer, I'd be one. Come on, church. Come on, church. I'm telling you, everybody here has got something that God wants you to do and laid out for you to do, and the devil's got you to the place. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. You know what you're doing? You're hiding your talent in the ground, and you're going to be just like this man right here. Amen. You know, the Bible doesn't put a name or a face on this man. But the Lord began to deal with me about some people in the Bible. Brother Rocky, that just had one talent. That's all, just one. All I had was one thing. The Bible says in the book of Exodus, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. Amen. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. God's people were in bondage. They begin to cry out to God by reason of the bondage. God heard their groaning and God heard their crying. Come on, church. Amen. And the Bible said, and He had respect unto them. Amen. He remembered the promises that He made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Amen. And so He began to seek for a man, amen, to bring him out, and He chose Moses. Amen. And the Bible says, and Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Amen. The Bible said, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither thereto, therefore to, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He is telling the Lord why He couldn't do it. Just like so many of you sit there telling the Lord why you can't do it. Come on, church. You know you've done it. Amen. Amen. The pastor called for somebody to do something. You know you could do it, but you can't. Somebody else can do it. Hello? 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 Am I ringing your bell? I think I am. Amen. I feel like I am. Come on, you know that you can do more than what you're doing. Praise God. Oh, I know you. I've run into them too, you know. They say, bless God. The pastor will say, raise your hand and say, praise God. I'm not doing it unless the Spirit moves on me. Isn't it a shame? Amen. That to get the praise out of you, that God had to grab you by the collar and shake you and say, I said, praise God. Come on, church. Amen. Come on, church. You know you can do more than what you're doing. And God has put it on your heart many times to went ahead and done it. But let George do it. Let Rocky do it. Let somebody else do it. That's what Moses was saying. I can't do it. I'm slow of speech. Amen. They won't believe me anyway. You don't know what they'll do. Why don't you try and find out? Brother Ralph Cox was telling me, amen, one night in the service said he had this little sister that he talked to her once about singing. She said, I can't carry a tune, Brother Ralph. And he said, really? She couldn't. But the Lord spoke to him and said, have her sing a special song. So he said, sister, whatever her name was, said, the Lord said to have you sing tonight. Come on up here and sing. Said she sat there for just a second and hopped up. Amen. Come out there and come walking up the aisle. She said, when Brother Ralph asked me to sing, said the devil sitting there said, you can't sing. She said, I told him, who said I could? And sung the Spirit of the Lord down. Come on, church! Come on, church! Come on now! Sweet Lamb of God! Amen. There ain't no telling what God could do if we just give Him what we got. You know what God said to Moses? What have you got in your hand? Just tell me what all I've got is just this old rod, God. Amen. It ain't much. Amen. You can get one anywhere. Amen. Brother Matt said this. Somebody called it his walking stick. I don't know what it was. He said a rod. That's all I've got, Lord, is just a rod. But what's that? Amen. He said, you just hang on to that. That's all I need is you just hang on to that rod. That's all I got, Lord, is just this old rod. With that rod, Moses brought Pharaoh to his knees. Woo! With that rod, he led the whole nation of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. Amen. And not a dog barked against them. Amen. Sweet Lamb of God. Amen. When they got trapped at the Red Sea, amen, with the rod stretched out over the sea, the Lord caused it to dry up and walk through on dry ground. On the other side, He stretched the rod out over there, and the Egyptian who had saved to do the same as the people of God drowned in the Red Sea because of a man with a rod. you've got in your hand, I know that God put something in it. Amen. I wish you'd use it to God's glory. I wish we'd use it to God's glory. I feel like God will move in this last hour like He's moved in days gone by when men would use that God has put in their hands. God help us. Amen. Amen. What you got in your hand? Let's go on. Here's another. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. We're gathered together at Shokan, I guess. It's worse than Cherokee, amen. Which belongeth to Judah and pitched between Shotan and Azka and Ephraim, I guess. And anyhow, they're there. Amen. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Amen. The Bible said, and the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Nobody wanted to face this giant. Not even King Saul, who stood head and shoulders above everybody in Israel at that time. Amen. And now then, the Lord has to have somebody to fight this giant. But God chooses just a little boy, a lad, with one talent. A slingshot. Amen. And the Bible said, took his staff in his hand, chose him 5 smooth stones out of a brook, put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even the script in his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Saul tried his best to talk him out of it. He said, you can't fight him. Ain't no way. Ain't that the way the devil is? You say they want you to teach a Sunday school class? No, you can't do that. You know you can't teach. You ain't no use to even try. And so you don't even try. Come on. Come on. Amen. He tried. Then he tried to get him to fight like he would if he'd had the guts to go there. Come on. David said, I can't use these. So he just took what God had given him, his one talent, and slingshot. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took tents of stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face upon the ground. Amen. Goliath had no chance in this battle at all, although he should have won. I mean, if we'd been betting people, we'd have bet on Goliath. But you see, there was a boy there that didn't know any better than just to do with what God had given him. And what's a slingshot against a sword and a spear and a shield? Come on, church. And a man that's got mail all over him, amen. Armor on his back and armor on his front, amen. And down his legs and on his arm, amen. And a helmet on, amen. And a shield and a sword and a spear, amen. My God in heaven, amen. And all he's got is a slingshot and a stone. Amen. He ain't got a chance, has he, huh? But little you know about it, and little anybody knows about it, if they just take what God has already given them, amen, no matter what it may be, and let God do the work. Sweet Lamb of God, I'm sick and tired of hearing I can't. You can if God gave it to you. You can if the Lord moves on you to do it. You can do it if you'll just get up and do it. God in heaven, heaven. But we have allowed the devil that position of power in our life to influence our thinking until we got us thinking that we can't do it. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. If I'd listened to the devil years ago, you'd have never known me. Amen. Brother Rocky, amen. Even my friend got to ask me, are you sure God called you to preach? Are you sure? Well, I sure. They wasn't sure. Amen. Even Daddy wasn't sure. Mama wasn't sure. But I knew. So I kept trying. And finally one night, I found that acorn. Amen. You know, they say even a blind hog finds an acorn once in a while. I found it one night. Amen. And I knew I was hooked on it from then on. Come on, church. I don't know what you got in your hand tonight. It may not be much. But why don't you give it to God and let Him use it? Like He wants to use it, you might be surprised what would happen. The Bible said after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and the great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. Amen. Here's the problem. A great multitude to feed, and no McDonald's anywhere near, and not enough money if there would have been one. And no Peggy Kirk to fix supper either. Lord have mercy. Amen. But there was a lad there. Just another little boy. All he's got is a lad's lunch. Amen. I don't know. You know, the Bible says here that one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. I don't know how he knew that this boy had that lunch. But I use my imagination, and I hope it doesn't offend you, but I know when I was a little boy and the men were talking, Brother Benny, I like to get close around and listen to what they're saying. And I heard him. I can just see him standing there and I can hear Jesus say, how are we going to feed these people here? And he said, I don't know how we're going to do it. We ain't got enough money to buy everybody even a little piece of bread. I don't know how we're going to do it. Amen. And I can see that little boy walk up to Andrew and said, sir, here's my lunch. Can you use it? I wish the bunch of us would just take our little lad's lunch and bring it to Christ. Can you use it, Lord? Can you use it, Lord? But Andrew said, but what is that among so many? Isn't that what he said? What are these among so many? Amen. Jesus said, make them two men to sit down. Amen. And Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and He prayed over them. And He broke them up and He handed them out. Amen. And I can see that disciple when he walked to the first man, he just took off a little bit and gave him a little bit because he's afraid he wasn't going to have enough to go very far. And he looked down and he had as much as he had before, so he took a bigger piece the next time. Pretty soon he just... Huh? All because the lad came and said, "Oh, this is all I got." In my mind, that's what happened. Can you use it? I don't know what you got in your hand tonight. I don't have any idea. Your pastor may not even know what you got in your hand. You've got it hit so deep. Why don't you go out there and dig that thing up and bring it in and say, "Pastor, can you use this?" It might cause some pastors to faint if you come and say, I'd like to sing a special song if you'd let me." Brother Ben, would it make you... It would me too. It would have me too. I know some of them you have to beg them. I remember the first church that we tried to pastor, a little church in Miami, Oklahoma. And we had a man there that could really sing. I mean, he could really sing, but he wanted to be begged to sing. "Come on, brother, let's sing for it." "Oh, I'm not going to sing tonight." And they just begged. Finally, he'd get up there and say, "Well, I don't know which song to sing." And they'd name off this song, that song. And then finally, he'd go ahead and sing. And when I got a hold of the reins, I said, "Lester, come and sing." And he said, "No." And I said, "Okay." And I'd just go and get somebody else. Wasn't long where I said, "Lester, you want to sing tonight?" "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Amen. Come on, church. Amen. I'm telling you, church, I believe that we could have service if everybody here, whatever they got in their hand, would bring it to God and say, "Here, Lord, take this and use it to your glory. Take this and use it to your glory. Take this and use it to your..." Amen. The thing is, when they were filled up, when everybody had ate all that they could eat, couldn't eat another bite, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves which remained over and above unto them which that had eaten. Amen. Don't you know that little lad who came carrying a paper bag with just a lad's lunch in it, come home with 12 baskets full. I wonder what you'd go home with tonight if you'd bring what you got, amen, and give it to the Lord and say, "Lord, here it is. Just take it and use it to your glory." I think we ought to at least try, don't you? Amen. I like this passage of Scripture around in the book of Mark. I take great, great comfort in it and courage. The Bible says, "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment with spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and opened it on his and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, 'Why was this waste of ointment made?'" Amen. And that's sometimes the case. Amen. When somebody with one talent tries to do something, I wonder why they called on them. You know they can't sing. No? Come on. Amen. Praise God. And maybe they can't. Amen. Brother Kirk, I believe it was, quoted the scripture a while ago, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." I like that, but I got a new slant on it for you. I hope you'll like it. I like it. Amen. We always use that to think that, you know, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," to testify. And that's all right. Brother Benny, I got another slant on it. I like this. Amen. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know, I mean, Daniel could have said to him, or the three Hebrew children could have said to the king, instead of telling all that he did when he said, I'm going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow. They could have just said, so? So? Daniel, if you pray again, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. So? Is that supposed to make a difference? Come on, church. If the devil comes to you telling you you can't, just look at him and say, so? Who said I could? And go ahead and do it. I said, go ahead and do it. So? Amen. What's the devil got to say about what we do anyway? Not a thing in the world. Amen. Tell you can't, sweet Lamb of God, show him you can anyway. If you fail, just go ahead and fail anyhow. I've done that. Amen. Amen. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said, for if there be first a willing mind, it is acceptable according to that a man hath, and not according to that that he hath not. Oh, I like that. I like that. It's accepting the word of God. Well, I only got one talent. Well, sweet Lamb of God, if you'll use it, amen, and go ahead and live for God anyhow, you can go to heaven with a man that had 5 and got 10. Hey, huh? I don't believe I'm going to be ashamed, amen, to be with Peter or Paul or John. I don't believe I'm going to. Hey, man, I'm not now. Sweet Lamb. Oh, y'all don't know where I'm coming from, but I know where I came from. Hey, man. Hey, man. And they griped and complained about it. And Jesus said, let her alone. She had done what she could. And that's what I take great comfort in and courage in. Amen. I know I can't preach like a lot of preachers. I know that. Amen. You don't have to tell me. Amen. Brother Ralph told me once, said, Brother Leon, quit apologizing for preaching. Amen. Don't tell everybody you can't preach. Said, they'll find out soon enough. Oh, God. Amen. He's been a real help to me. Amen. Oh, God. Help us. Amen. I feel like, church, amen, that we're looking around and we're waiting for the big talent to take over. We're waiting for them to pray it down. We're waiting for them, Brother Rocky, to preach it down, sing it down, whatever, amen. And God's wanting to use you all the time. The Bible says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, and not many mighty, and not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Satan knows that tonight. That's why he targets people that just has one talent. Huh? Because you see, it means so much more when that that gets up that can't does. It just does something to the church to see somebody that really is shy and backward, amen, get a hold of the Spirit of God. Amen, sweet Lamb of God. It does something to the whole church. You know why? Because that's the Spirit of the Lord using that one talent. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It wasn't a rod, it wasn't the lad's lunch, and it wasn't even David's slingshot. It was the Spirit of God. And that's what it always will be if God has His way in the church. If God moves and helps us, amen, it won't be because of my talent or anybody else's talent. Understand what I'm saying. I'm not putting myself up, and I hope you don't think I am. Amen. But it'll be because God chose to hit that button right there. I thought we was pastoring at Chelsea, Oklahoma, and we was going through one of them dry spells. I know you Yankees don't know what I'm talking about. But us Okies do. We have dry spells, not just the weather either, amen. But anyhow, we was having one. And Brother Benny, I'd preached my heart out, amen, and I couldn't move it. I couldn't move it. And I'd even sung, I'd call Jesus anytime, amen. I didn't know that other song that I sang, but I knew that one, and I sung it, and Brother Wilson, my youth leader, great song leader, he'd sang till he nearly beat that tambourine to death, and he couldn't get it. We just couldn't seem to get nothing going. One Sunday night after we tried our best, amen, and I was fixing to dismiss, amen, old Brother Sam Wilson. Amen, somewhere in his late 90s, stood up. He's on the second row over here. Stood up. That's where he always sat. He began to sing an old song. I don't even know what it was. Amen, can't remember to now what song it was. I picked my guitar up and began to try to find him. I couldn't find him. Amen, Sister Mary Wilson, my piano player, his daughter-in-law, said, Brother Leon, he's singing in the cracks. He sang through the first verse and the first chorus. Amen, and he come back down through that second verse, started in on that second turn through the chorus, and I looked back in that old deacon, amen, 6 foot something, amen, 300 and something pounds, had been disgruntled. I seen tears start rolling down his cheek, and I said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, amen, sweet Lamb of God. I'm telling you, church, God has got the right button to push. If you'll go ahead and be pushed. I said, you got it. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what he says. I said, I don't care what he says. Amen. You can. If God said to do it, you can do it. And you don't need nothing. Now you're looking at me funny. Well, listen to this. Then. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, Samson, and he rent this lion. Let me read the verse before. Then Samson went down, his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And the Bible said he had nothing in his hand. You don't need nothing but the Spirit of the Lord moving on you to take care of any lion that the devil's got roaring. Come on, church. We don't need anything in our hand at all. Just we need the Spirit of God moving on our hearts. Amen. I thought about the woman. Amen. It's their path. Amen. Brother Rocky Kirk, amen, she just had a handful of meal. That's all she had. That's all she had. She's going to fix it for her and her son. They're going to die. And here comes the man of God and said, fix me a cake first. Oh. And they're in the middle of a drought, a famine. Fix me a cake first. That's all I got, just a handful of meal. If I fix you a cake, then we ain't going to get nothing to eat. See, he said, fix me a cake first. And the Bible didn't say she asked one question. The Bible said she just went and done it. And she never run out of meal, and she never run out of oil. Sweet Lamb of God. I'm telling you, church, the devil has influenced our church till our people are just sitting there waiting for somebody else to pray it down when they could pray it down, when they could sing it down, when they could get it down if they just try. I said if they just try, you got it. Amen. Well, I know I didn't make you shout tonight too much. Not as good as we did last night. The Lord helped us, didn't he? Amen. I want to read this last thing to you tonight. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. He saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these had of their abundance cast into the offering of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. She put everything into it. I'm sure everyone else there would have disagreed with Jesus. Amen. But isn't that the way it is today? Huh? Come on, church. We look up to those that have great talent, great ability. God may not choose to use them if they lean upon their ability and their talent. Huh? I've seen some of the best sing their heart out and nothing. Nothing. Some old hillbilly get up there. Woo! I hope you all don't get mad at me tonight. Amen. I thought about what Samuel said to Saul. When thou wast little, in thine own eyes, the Lord chose thee to be captain of His people. Amen. But he disobeyed God, got too big-headed, so God chose a lad with a slingshot. He said, but Brother Leon, Moses and David were great men of God. They sure was, but only because they used what they had when they had to have it. You might choose to hide your talent in the ground. I believe that'd be foolish. Being used of God, whether it's five or two or one talent. Amen. It depends on our being willing to do what we can do. I don't think God expects too much out of us, do you? I really don't. Amen. And if we'll be willing to do what we can do, I believe that God will bless us if we'll give Him the reins and let Him be the one. Amen. And then and only then will we find fulfillment and contentment in our souls. Amen. So what have you got in your hand tonight? I thought about... I hope I maybe ought to not even say anything, and the devil's telling me I shouldn't, so I'm going to anyway. But I thought when I lost my leg and we laid in the hospital for so long, the devil told me, said, you're through. You won't never preach again. You'll never preach again. Amen. Brother Lester Moore called me, amen, at the hospital and said, Brother Leon. You know, Brother Lester, he said, the devil's a liar. Hey, man, they cut your leg off. They didn't cut your tongue out. Woo! And lo and behold, it wasn't long till I was talking to one brother from Richmond, Indiana, named Brother Carpenter. You all know him? He told me the same thing. I said, look, devil, I got two witnesses here. Praise God. And I told him, I said, I may preach from a wheelchair, and I did some. Amen. But I said, if God will help me, I'll stand in God's pulpit again. Huh? Come on, church. I know I'm not the best, amen, but I ain't the worst either, amen. I just want to be used of God. Amen. This is all I got, amen. This right here, amen. This is all I got. Amen. I ain't got no more than this. I ain't got no fancy words for you. All I know to do is tell you what God lays on my heart. And He come to me to tell you tonight, what have you got in your hand? He said, I want it. Are you willing to give it? I said, are you willing to give it? I believe we ought to gather in these altars tonight and we ought to tell God and renew in our heart. I may not be the best, but I ain't the worst. Sweet loving God, I'm going to do what I can while I can. Come on, church. Let's come and pray.
Use me, body, mind, soul, Lord.